Friday indeed. Not just Friday, but Friday and hour number three of the show. Feeling the good vibes, my dudes and dudettes. Welcome back. Rob Brown Show continues. Rob of the Great One Lonzo with you here on a lovely, lovely upstate Friday morning. We get set for the college and NFL weekend. Coming up on the show, in 40 minutes, we'll be joined by Doug Irwin, the CBO of your, my, our Greenville Triumph. Doug, the CBO, and now, technically, a business partner with Ronaldinho, who is joined. Yes, that Ronaldinho. Yes, the legend Ronaldinho, who is now a partial member of the Greenville Triumph, which I think is spectacular, to be honest with you. I think it's spectacular. I think it's awesome. And we're going to talk with Doug coming up in 40 minutes about that. Then we turn the mics over to John and Kevin and Jarrell from the Moving the Chains podcast. Interesting discussion to be had there as a major decision was made by the South Carolina High School Athletics Association about the way the high school football season is going to play out this year. We're going to tell you what that is and break down some of the games upcoming. Then through the final hour of the show, we will do the final segment of the show alongside WWE icon Bailey, hashtag hug life.
Just realized this will be my second interview with a horse, one of the four horsewomen. So now I've got to get to, well, one more. Because the third one, I don't care.
I mean, you don't care doesn't mean she don't deserve some respect.
I'm not interested in interviewing Becky. Now, you know.
I mean, be wrong. That's fine.
That's fine.
Fine. I'll do the Becky interview by myself.
If it should ever happen.
Get the Irish last kicker in here. I'm all about it.
I will hog the interview and jump in every time so Rob can't ask questions just because it will really make him mad.
See what happens.
I'll just turn your mic down.
I listen to Becky read a phone book. All right?
Wow. This is the Irish thing, you know.
Yup. No bones about it.
If she gets really Irish, I got a better shot of understanding her than you do.
I am Irish.
Yeah.
What are you talking about, Ohio?
I mean, come on. You know, I work.
Come on's not a reason.
I work with an Irish guy like every week, and you don't. So I, you know, I'm getting the nuances. Getting the inflections. For sure. All the things that
you Lonzo don't might get. As well be from Dublin at this point.
I might as well be. I could be. You don't know.
The Audio Blitz, the best audio we have picked up from the interwebs over the last 24 hours. We don't have to talk about this one all that much, but Terry Bradshaw's unintentionally hilarious, he said, and then once again forgot to do the thing because he's an idiot. Hold, please. Don't worry. I got this. Terry Bradshaw's unintentionally hilarious. I like Gronk coming to Terry Bradshaw's aid there. I know what you meant. If you're on the same wavelength as Gronk.
Wow. Yeah.
Even me, I'm a big Gronk guy. If you're on the same wavelength as Gronk, you may need to evaluate your communication skills.
See, I can't imagine ever having to correct someone on the air. Would you want to put him down?
Incredible. Clark Lee is the head coach of the Vanderbilt Commodores. This audio posted, it's a little, they added some dramatic tunage, and it makes it great. Clark Lee, the head coach of the Doors, here's what he said before leading the Vanderbilt Commodores back out onto the field to finish off the upset of the Alabama Crimson Tide. Give me a helmet. Give me a helmet. I'm going through a wall for this man. I like that focused intensity. All right, that's my thing. That's what gets the old blood pumping, that focused intensity. That hype stuff, some of the kids react. I'm good with that.
He's too well-spoken.
Give me that focused intensity.
I need some more gruff. I need some more intensity.
Like I said,
some people like intensity.
It.
Yeah.
Some people want the focused intensity.
That's like sitting in the boss's office kind of intensity. I don't like that intensity.
I see, that's what gets me fired. It is one thing to go, Rah! I believe in you, son. Get out there. All right, that's one thing. That's fine. That's what motivates some people. Give me that focused. We can do this. We're going to do it. Go out there and rip their hearts out. That's what gets the juices going for Rob Brown. That's great. I'm ready to put on a helmet for Clark Lee today. There's no reason to play this other than speaking of I am the hype. Speaking of the Vanderbilt win, Diego Pavia, third quarter, the doors up a pair on Alabama, 23-21. Diego Pavia threw a touchdown. The call on Vanderbilt radio was spectacular, but that's not what I'm playing you. You ever heard an American touchdown in Japanese? Dude, listen. Japanese, one of the most difficult languages on planet Earth to learn. I'm about to learn it just so I can listen to Japanese sports radio, because that's fire. I don't know what they're saying. That could have just been a string of Japanese obscenities I will pay for with my career. But I'm pretty sure it was Diego Pavia's third quarter touchdown on that fourth and one that he just uncorked a 60-yarder to put Bama's put a dagger in the heart. I'm about to learn Japanese just so I can listen to Japanese sports radio, because that was hype.
As an anime fan, I've heard that sort of, you know, all the time, because they put their all into everything they do.
That's incredible. Hey, Ashton Jonte plays for the Boise State Blue Turf Smurf Broncos. He got asked during an interview the other day, why didn't you go in the portal? You could be playing for Ohio State, Georgia, Texas, Alabama, and making mucho dinero for it. And Ashton Jonte proves what I said from the beginning, which is, yes, the NIL cash is going to impact some kids. And the NIL cash is going to have other kids wanting to ball. I love this kid. I love this kid. Why didn't you go on, take the money and run? Hoo, hoo, hoo. He said, because I want a legacy. I want a legacy. Money is temporary. Glory, honor, legacy are forever. I love this kid. Remember when the NIL thing started? Somebody said, oh, yeah, some of the kids are going to do it for the money. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. There will be some kids to do it for the money. And there will also be some kids who do it for whatever you think the reason they should do it is. Ashton Jonte is one of these kids. This kid said, because when I'm done here, I want them to remember me here. They built me. I want them to. There are still kids who have that old school mentality, just like there are kids who are going to go play wherever they're going to get paid the most amount of money. Massive props to this kid.
Pain heals. Chicks dig scars. Glory lasts forever.
And all we're left with are the memories made. Oh, yeah.
I don't know what you're doing. I was actually quoting a movie.
I was quoting a country music song.
Yeah. Why would you do that when I was just quoting?
Pain hurts.
When I was
only
quoting
for a minute.
The Replacements.
Life
the best
is short,
football
so go on
movies of
it.
All time.
Because the chicks dig it.
Stop ruining Banger. The show with Banger. Whatever that thing is you're doing.
Hey, speaking of Ashton Jonte, how good is he? CBS Sports HQ put a little demo together for you. This kid's good. Not like good. Not like real good. This kid's, we're going to be talking about this season for a very long time good. This kid's, you could stack 12 William and Mary colleges on the schedule. And there are guys who couldn't put up the numbers that Ashton Jonte's putting up right now for the Blue Turf Smurf. This kid is... Boise's going to get its first Heisman this year good. If you're not watching the Blue Turf Smurfs, you need to start, and you need to start right now. From one side of the football, offense, to the other, special teams. Jason Kelce has a hot take. The unintentional rivalry that is about to begin between the New Heights podcast and the Pat McAfee show is going to be all time. It's good. It's gonna be all time. I can't wait for the inevitable fight betwixt the two. It's gonna be great. It's two of the most entertaining podcast/shows out there. Jason Kelce saying, "Get kickers the hell off the game. They're stupid soccer shoes out there." On the flip side, Pat McAfee has an entire segment every college game day where he brings in somebody who talks bleep about a kicker to make them look dumb on TV, and then bleep talks them to their face. I'm all in. It's spectacular. I do think the narrowing of the uprights is a good idea, though. I do. These guys are banging. It used to be if a guy lined up to kick a 60-yard field goal, every NFL game turned into that. They're like, hey, you're tuned in here for the Raiders and the Broncos, but we're going to send you out to New York where so-and-so's lining up for a 62-yarder. Now it's like you get a 60-yarder a game.
Dude, I want to see a 70-yarder. I'm not like that.
You will see one.
I want to see one.
You will see one.
That would be amazing to see. We're seeing records being set, and people are complaining it's too easy. It's not that easy.
I don't know.
If it was, there'd be one of those every single game, and there's not.
60-yarders?
There's not every single game.
No, but there's one almost every weekend now. The kid in Dallas has hit like four already.
Yeah, that's one guy, though.
He's not alone. There's been, I don't know how many there have been so far. I would set the over-under. I promise you there's been six in the NFL this year. It used to be when Jason Elam lined up one, we all tuned in to see if he could knock it through. Now, there's a kid in Dallas that if he lines up for a 60-yarder, you're like, all right, Dallas has got three. How do we respond to that? It's stupid. It's stupid. I'm not saying get rid of kickers. I do think tightening up the goalposts will be kind of cool. I'm down for that. Jeff Ulbrich is going to be taking a... Have you ever seen a picture of Jeff Ulbrich when he was a player, Zoe? Do you remember Jeff Ulbrich?
Yeah, I have no idea who you're talking about.
Okay, do me a favor. While I'm playing this audio, just do a quick Google of Jeff Ulbrich as a player, and then listen to this audio.
Does that start with an O?
U-L-B-R-I-C-H. Look at his picture while you listen.
You should have said the new head coach for the Jets.
For the Jets.
Yeah, I already.
All right.
Yeah.
Jeff Ulbrich, new head coach of the Jets. Look at his picture while you listen to him talk.
All right, so I'm going to say something that you won't expect probably, or maybe you will. He looks and sounds like a special ops guy from a video game.
That's fair. Very.
You play Badlands. This guy is in Badlands going, sorry, brother, as he pulls him out of the car.
No. I'm going to go one step further. This dude is in, like the military space. He's in like, what's one? He's like in Call of Duty. All right. But he's the gruff old vet that's trying to whip the new ghost team into shape. Right. Like he's the one that he's like, you're going to be the team leader. I expect level headedness from you. And you're like, what? The character's like, I don't understand why we have to listen to this guy. And then somebody else is in the back and is like, oh, you don't know Ulbrich. He is one bad son of an Ulbrich, let me tell you. And then they go on to describe how he has like 280 confirmed kills.
Yeah, yeah. I'm still trying to figure out how Keanu's in this movie, but it's probably better.
Keanu should be in every movie. Yeah. Why do we have to listen to Ulbrich, man? Let me tell you about Ulbrich, son. I once watched him sink a Bowie knife through another man's heart and kiss his wife while he did it. You know, like that kind of character. Like that's Jeff Ulbrich. If you haven't seen Ulbrich, just stop what you're doing right now unless you're driving. Pull over safely first.
Hey, can we squeeze this phone call in?
Sure we can. We got a break. Go look at Jeff Ulbrich as an NFL player and then tell me that goes with that because it doesn't. Creed, kind enough to jump back on the phone lines this morning. What's up, big fella? Welcome back to the show.
Hey, two real quick ones. One, I think I will move to Japan after listening to that segment.
So electric,
two,
right?
I will move faster after hearing you sing.
you can tell Creed's relatively new to the show. That's something I'm going to put you through about once a week, buddy.
Okay. And on kind of a serious note, if they're not going to make a major change on the field goal, but I've been suggesting for years, why not move the field goal back 5 yards? It wouldn't change the distance. It wouldn't change the accuracy. It wouldn't change anything, but it would make it people have to come in a little more. Now when you're at the 30, instead of being a 47, it's a 52. Just move the goalpost back 5 yards. It would actually get out of the end zone, so you'd have to worry about players running into it.
Yeah, it's an interesting take. I would say this, Corey. This is kind of one of those things that I would say – regardless of how you do it, right? It's kind of like, I don't remember, we were talking about something. How do you stop Ole Miss? How do you stop college football teams from faking injuries to manipulate the clock? And it's like, all right, do you take the kid and say you can't come back in for the rest of this drive? Do you say you got to be out for X amount of plays? Like, how do you do it? It's one of those things that I go, I'm not like we could probably come up with 10 different solutions about how to do it. It just needs to be done. Because I do agree with Jason that while I am not for removing kickers, if you get to a point where a guy can kick a 60-yard field goal consistently, like it changes the entire dynamic of the game. And I don't know if it's necessarily for the better.
No, I like that. I just like the back five just because you don't change the accuracy. You're just making it where it's got to go a little further.
Sure.
That's all.
Fair enough. Creed, good call, buddy. Appreciate it. Thank you very much for jumping in, man. Great to have you on the show. Hope to keep hearing from you. Let's do this. Let's run to a break. When we come back, got a few more clips. We'll continue the Audio Blitz segment 2.0. Then Doug Irwin. I can do this. I've been in radio a long time.
He's going to hit you when he sees you.
Nah, Doug's good people. He won't. Hard. Doug Irwin, CBO of the Greenville Triumph, joins us on the show to talk about their new owner, Ronaldinho. Then at 9 o'clock, Kev, Jarrell, and John from the Moving the Chains pod tell us everything going on in high school sports. Then we end the show by talking to a legend, an icon, one of the four horsewomen, Bailey, joins the show ahead of Friday Night SmackDown tonight at the Bonscore Wellness Arena. All that coming up on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Continuing the Audio Blitz here on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. I got to give a lot of credit to Michael Lombardi. If you missed it, Michael Lombardi was on the Pat McAfee show last week. And he was talking about Max Crosby and said, oh, he's got a hamstring or a high ankle sprain. There's something wrong with Max Crosby. And he needs to sit out this weekend. I know he says he doesn't want to, but he needs to sit out this weekend for the Raiders to have a chance to win. Well, it turns out neither of those things was true. It was a rumor going around that he bought into. He was wrong. Crosby called him out on it. He's like, I don't know why you're talking about me when you don't actually know what's going on. Went on a big rant about it. Lombardi made his next appearance on the McAfee show yesterday. I have to agree with Pat. I do like that. I like that he came out. I like that he owned it. I like that he even put the blame elsewhere. Oh, my sources told me, oh, they're never older. No. I came out and he said, look, I was wrong. Max was right to call me out. That's on me. That's my bad. I appreciate it more than I can tell you. And I appreciate it because I genuinely believe hot take artists are, they make it tough for this industry. They make it tough for you as fans. Even though we love it, I still think they make it tough for fans. All right. Good on Lombardi for coming on and owning this. I that's it. I appreciate that. Nick Wright, a hot take artist, was on his show earlier.
Listen, don't go out a Kansas City Chiefs fan. That's disrespectful.
No, it's not. Not him. He's a hot take artist. And I don't think he would ever hide the fact that he's a hot take artist. But I don't know if this is a hot take or not, Lonzo. Listen to this take on Deshaun Watson from Nick Wright. And tell me if this is a hot take or not. Hot take.
I think it's far-fetched. No, I get what he's saying, but it's far-fetched that anyone would take that deal, even with the first rounder in there. I mean, is Deshaun, the hassle that comes with him, worth getting that second first rounder?
I think the point would be that the hassle that comes with him is you would eat up. Basically, what Nick is saying here is we'll trade you Deshaun and we will send you a first round pick, which is going to be a top five pick this year. Cleveland's bad, right? We're going to send you Deshaun. We're going to send you our first round pick next year. And effectively, what you're going to do is cut him and split Deshaun's contract. You are going to eat half of our obligation to Deshaun. We'll eat half. You eat half. You're going to have to go like $70 million in cap space here. But you're going to get a top five draft pick in order to make this happen. I got to tell you, it does seem far-fetched. I don't hate it.
See, I do hate it because of all the moves that the Panthers have made since Tepper's been there. They would take that and then keep them. And that would be a problem.
I mean, it's fair.
And also, there's a good shot that the Panthers are going to be picking above them. So they would, I mean, so maybe in that case, you trade that fourth pick overall, if that's what it ends up being for more picks. As long as you get rid of Deshaun after you get him, it's worth it. But I don't trust that they would get rid of him.
That's fair. I think, though, he's not good at football anymore. And to be paying that man $250 million guaranteed to not be good at football?
I also think Cleveland made a stupid move. They just have to deal with it. That's what I think.
I mean,
I think the rest of the league, because it made a problem for every other team, them doing what they did.
It did.
So just make them have, that's your problem.
Listen.
Eat it, Cleveland.
Here's the thing. That's not how it works in any business anywhere. All the time, people get, we have a term for it, the golden parachute. Here's your escape clause for that dumbass thing you did.
Well, if you consider the good old boys club, the owners for the NFL, that's exactly what they would do and now, say, eat it.
I agree, but here's the thing. It's within the rules for them to do it. They still got to eat over $70 million in dead cap space and lose a, you know what they're getting penalized? A first-round draft pick. In a year, they would have a top-five draft pick. That's pretty big. That's a Jaden Daniels pick.
I got something for you, Cleveland.
My best.
That counts.
5-3.
Wow, I'm going to lose today. Whatever. Yeah. I won last week. My best friend in the whole world, Cleveland Browns fan, deal with it.
God, the life of a Browns fan. It's terrible to be a Browns fan. You know who it's not terrible to be a fan of? Ladies and gentlemen, you're my hour. Greenville Triumph, enormous news from the local soccer professional club and the Greenville Liberty, by the way. Of course, the voice of the Greenville Liberty. Very handsome young man is he. When we come back, Doug Irwin is the CBO of the Greenville Liberty and Greenville Triumph. He's going to join us on the show because if you haven't heard me talking about it, I don't know what to tell you. It's enormous news. Actually, as a soccer fan and a Triumph fan, it is one of the coolest things that I have ever been, let's say, adjacent to. We're going to talk with Doug Irwin about the incredible news that broke earlier this week for the Greenville Liberty and the Greenville Triumph when we come back on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. Okay. Zoe's feeling the vibes. I like it. I like it a lot. Welcome back. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Ladies and gentlemen, I moved here coming up on March will be 5 years ago. And when I came up for my audition, I popped into an Airbnb. And the first thing that made an impression on me was a magnet on the fridge of my Airbnb of the Greenville Triumph. Googled them, learned about them, have been a fan, have been a supporter ever since. It has been a pleasure, a privilege, an honor, not just to work with his team, but to, I think they'll admit in public, become friends with the folks who run this, all the way from Joe Irwin down to everybody who works in the support staff on game day, an incredible group of people, which is why the news that we are about to talk about with the CBO of the Greenville Triumph, Doug Irwin, is all that much more exciting because good things are deserved by good people, and I love the folks who work at this team. Dougie Fresh, you handsome devil, you. What's happening, buddy?
How's it going, Rob? Appreciate you having me on. Appreciate the kind words.
Yeah, man. They're kind words. They're accurate words. I am thrilled for you guys, because I know that this can't lead to anything but incredible news. A legend and icon. And when we say legend and icon in Ronaldinho, we're not talking about like on a national. We are talking about an international megastar. One of, and I mean it, for those of you that aren't soccer guys like Doug and I, this is like getting a Tom Brady caliber player to get directly involved with the Greenville Triumph. Dude, how? Can we just start with the big one? How?
I think how is something we're still kind of asking, and we're blown away with it. But the shortest answer is just relationships. We have, across the last year or so, expanded our ownership group to bring on some additional minority investors from around town. And these, there are a couple guys that have come on board in a limited capacity, and they're people that are Greenville upstate residents that are passionate about business success in Greenville, and they're passionate about sports and the impact it can make, and saw this as a good opportunity to get involved in something growing on the grassroots level that helps Greenville and the upstate. And one of those guys is Wallace Cheeves, who came on board. And Wallace has been such a huge help for us in so many facets. working on just how we present our business to other potential investors, and you'll see where that's going in a second. But also helping on the stadium front as we continue talks to try and get a site secured for a permanent stadium. And Wallace is a guy who's done business all over the country and all over the world, and lives in Greenville, is a Greenville guy, but has some great connections and does a lot of business in Miami and Brazil. And in Miami, got connected to someone who became a business friend of him named Juan Ma, who has been to Greenville, been to the team store a couple times. We've shared meals with him, and he connected us to Roberto Assis, who is Ronaldinho's brother and business manager. And one thing leads to another, domino effect. And Roberto's become a big fan of what we're doing. And, Roberto got in touch with his brother and Ronaldinho, and talks and meetings and Zooms and information. And Wallace kind of running point on this for us. And next thing you know, we get a call from Wallace that says, hey, Ronaldinho might want to invest in your club. And I'm like, which Ronald,
that one,
that one, to your point, global soccer icon, not just one of the best players of the last 25, 30 years ever. But a guy who really broke down just the barriers of being an athlete and became a cultural icon in the way he played the game and, the creativity, the joy. And I think that the joy is an important thing to come back to, because the joy at which he played the game and the joy he gets from the game and giving back to the game is the joy that we have as an organization. Joy is in our mission. So I think that connection was evident to Ronaldinho, to his brother, to Juanma, to Wallace, and it all kind of came together in this beautiful process.
Dude, it's incredible to me, and I'm going to say this, and it's going to sound out of the gate, stick with me. When I talk about our local sports teams, and when I've talked with you and Chris and your dad and all the folks at the store, you guys have never dictated to me like, hey, we'd like you to talk about this, right? Now, the reason I bring it up is because I also, in every time we talk, point out the fact that I think the Greenville Triumph are, and I mean this sincerely, the best team I have ever worked with, for, or around in my 17 plus years in this industry at connecting with the community, at being involved in the community, at allowing the community to be involved with them directly, indirectly, whatever. And in the statement Ronaldinho made, he talked about wanting to continue to grow the game and do so not just at the international level or the professional level or the domestic level, but at a grassroots level, which I think you guys have done in this community and honestly across the Carolinas as well as anybody I've ever seen do it. And to have somebody on the scale of Ronaldinho recognize that for a local club and decide, not only do I recognize, respect, appreciate that, but I want to be a part of that, mission accomplished. Like, I know the mission's not accomplished because you want to keep it going. That's why he's here. But to do so in a way that a guy of that stature sees it, recognizes it, and aside from you guys, says, I want to be a part of that, that's incredible, dude.
Yeah, definitely. And again, that's his mission. And you look at all the work he's done. He serves as an ambassador for the game truly across the world now. And, giving back to the game, and it's such a noble pursuit, for former players, had a lot of success, to just dedicate the rest of their life post-playing career to giving back to the game that gave them so much. And frankly, Rob, it reminds me a little bit about John Harkson's attitude when we hired him, as our head coach year one. John's the same way. He says it out in public and says it behind closed doors, and he means it. He wants to give back to the game that gave him everything. And giving back to the game isn't always, hey, this athlete's gonna write a check somewhere or whatever. It's, you said, it's connecting with the community, and something that we try and do. The game's given us a lot too, in our ownership group, in our office. It brings us a lot of joy. So any way you can give back, and sometimes giving back is, kicking a ball around with couple people, couple kids at a clinic. Sometimes it's joining an ownership group. But anyway, we can do it. I really appreciate people, like Ronaldinho, who want to leave it a a better place than they found it and leave it a better place it was when they left it as an athlete. That's so cool. And, you know, having people like that to pay it forward is what makes the game grow. And, you know, you're seeing with the global, you know, explosion of soccer growth, what people like Ronaldinho are capable of.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think the interesting thing for me is it is global expansion. And it's happening right here on our doorstep now because of stuff like this. And the dividends were immediately recognizable because Ronaldinho's ringing the closing bell at the New York Stock Exchange, the most eyes on financial market in America. And there's this beautiful picture of him and his brother and the business partners up there on that stage looking down at the NYSE. And right there plastered on that giant LED sign behind them are the logos of the Greenville Liberty and the Greenville Triumph. You guys, on the day it was announced, have put Greenville into cameras that broadcast that room to the entire freaking globe at this point. The dividends immediately available, but let me ask you from the business perspective, having one of the most recognizable athletes in the history of the game globally, what opportunities does that present for the Greenville Liberty and the Greenville Triumph?
Well, look, first off, I think you're selling yourself short because I see the Triumph and Liberty logos behind you. So they've already been on a world stage, you know, in the background. But, but you know, Rob,
I would like to put myself on the same stage as Ronaldinho, Doug. But
and then the New York Stock Exchange. Yes.
There it is. There it is.
You know, I really think I can't answer that question yet. And that's what's so exciting. You know, it, certainly we, it's a secret we've had to keep quiet, for a handful of months now as it was coming together. You know, we, Chris Lewis, our team president, my dad, our majority owner, and I were getting texts from people in our organization, from, Rick Wright, our current head coach, John, our previous head coach, and were saying, why didn't you tell me about this? We didn't tell anybody. So
including me, by the way, Doug.
I've learned to keep a good secret. Sometimes you got to do it until the ink's dry. But you know, I think the possibilities are endless, and I want to be reasonable when I say endless. But you know, the amount of eyeballs we're going to get. I mean, we're seeing the news come in and us get picked up by ESPN and Apple and Daily Mail and all these places, you know, across the world. So I don't know what's possible. You know, what I would hope is possible is just eyeballs and being able to see more people interact with our brand, sell more merchandise, have more sponsorships come in, you know, bigger attendance at games allow us to do more and really just increase our platform to be able to live out our mission as a club. And it's exciting. We don't know what direction it's going to take. You know, the question I'm getting the most right now is, well, are you guys going to sell Ronaldinho Triumph jerseys? And is he going to come to games? I don't know. I hope so. He's expressed excitement and interest there. We want to figure all that out. But I think, you know, again, it's just about growing our team's brand, growing the league. And, you know, how do we make that soccer connection with people in the community that haven't heard of us? Because we're not too proud to say there are plenty of soccer fans in, you know, Greenville, South Carolina and across the upstate who don't know much about the Triumph, maybe haven't heard of the Triumph. But the, you know, they know who Ronaldinho is. So I think to be able to make that connection and get more people interested in learning, you know, who we are as a team, what we are as a league, that's huge for us and hopefully make some new fans.
I think this is kind of one of those rising tide lifts all boats scenarios for the USL, exactly. For USL League One, for USL soccer as a whole, for US soccer as a whole. This is something that I think, and I'll ask it in a way that you can kind of expand where you want to go with it here, but I got to assume this is something like the folks in the League One offices have got to be going, oh my God, are you kidding me? The folks at USL have got to be going, are you kidding me? The folks all the way up, I would assume, through the MLS. There are probably MLS teams going, how in the hell did we not make this happen? And the Greenville Triumph did. This is a banner moment for you guys that I don't really know. I tried to describe it yesterday on the show after you guys officially broke the move. I'm like, this is like a rec league basketball team getting freaking Michael Jordan to become a partial owner. What, like, I don't know what else to say. What a hell of an opportunity for the guys.
Yeah, you know, I think I'm still waiting on the league to send me the thank you bottle of champagne, you know, or something. No. You know, I think that the USL, you know, which has 40 some men's pro teams and now a handful of women's pro teams with a bunch of amateur teams really across the country, they've seen celebrity investment, you know, at the local levels, and they've done a really good job of getting people involved. That Tim Tebow with a recent one, he got involved in the new franchise in Jacksonville. David Villa, you know, another former great, getting involved up in Queens. But I think it shows that there's value in the investment. There's joy in the investment. You know, it's something you get to interact and have fun with. It's not just investing in a hedge fund or something like that. But people wouldn't be getting involved if there wasn't real value potential in it. And the growth of the game, the growth of these leagues is a big part of that. But yeah, I think anytime any of these teams get an investment from a local celebrity, a national, international celebrity, it definitely, to your point about rising tide, lifts all boats. It does, and it lifts the notoriety. It encourages other people who might be on the fence, both celebrities that might be on the fence, and also just people that are, you know, investors in the private sector that might be on the fence about getting involved with a team. They see that and they think, wow, if that person's investing, maybe there is something to it. So what I hope happens is that we get a lot of calls from, you know, other people around the country, celebrities, private capital, that say, hey, tell me more about how you got this across the finish line, because we want to do something similar in Spokane and Richmond and Statesboro, wherever. Because, you know, the league is growing and revenue is good, but you can't do that without more investment. And I think we've seen this in soccer, but also in, you know, places like the WNBA and the NBA too, is you start to get this avalanche of investment into the sport. And that's what really leads to cataclysmic change. So we're excited about this, and we hope it leads to the next Ronaldinho type investment for one of the other teams in our league.
Me too, except Omaha, not them. Anybody else would be fine. Doug Irwin, CBO, and I do want to say, when Ronaldinho comes to town for the first time to take in his first Greenville Triumph person, and it's a game in person, and it's time to introduce him, just remember who gives you the love locally, Doug. That's all I'm saying, but no reasons.
Yep, noted.
Doug Irwin, CBO with the Greenville Triumph, joining us here on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. My dude, congratulations. Enormous from the Triumph. Both as a Triumph fan, as a local sports dude, and just a soccer dork. Incredible news. Congratulations, man. That's huge.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
You got it. Good Doug talking. Irwin joining us here on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. When we come back, Jarrell Hendricks and Kevin Thomas join us to talk high school football around the Upstate. That's next after Lonzo blows your mind with this sports flash.
You're welcome. The New York Yankees are back in the American League Championship Series after finishing off the Kansas City Royals in four games with a 3-1 victory last night. Kansas City finishes the season 86-76, while the Yankees await the winner of Game 5 between Cleveland and Detroit. San Francisco 49ers knocked off divisional rival Seattle last night, 36-24. 49ers quarterback Brock Purdy went 18-28 for 255 yards. Former Gamecock Debo Samuel had 102 receiving yards and a touchdown to win. San Francisco improves to 3-3, the same record as the Seahawks. Tune in tomorrow at 12:30 as the Furman Paladins take on Chattanooga. It's Chattanooga Mox and Furman right here. Also, tune in tonight, 7 p.m., as the Burns Rebels head to Gaffney to take on the Indians. It's Burns versus Gaffney right here on your home for Burns Rebels football and Furman football, the Fan Upstate.